When the world seems crammed full of crazy lefties, you need this. This is your weekly dose of common sense.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Weekly Dose of Common Sense podcast. This is Corey Bernardi, and I want to say thank you for all the feedback you keep sending our way, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. And it's a special episode today because I really want to focus on sharing with you my understanding and my knowledge about how leadership spills and all of the discombobulation, if I can put it like that, the instability that is affecting politics comes to play. And we note that this week, the Prime Minister faced a leadership challenge from his own Cabinet Minister, Peter Dutton. He narrowly won that challenge, and it says to me there are a couple of important scenarios that could come to pass that would see a new Prime Minister in the lodge before the end of the year. I want to take you through all of that, and we'll discuss some of the players as well and how it's going to affect you, how it's going to affect the country potentially, and why politics has been brought into such disrepute. Little wonder, the Prime Minister you vote for is not there at the end of it. They seem to just want to roll them, and that's part of why I left the Liberal Party. It's part of why I think there's got to be a better way for politics in this country. Then, on top of that, we're also going to have a massive bumper edition of Your Say, because I know that's what you really like. There are quite a few difficult questions that I want to address, and you'll like some of the answers, and you might not like some of the others. But that's what's going to be on your weekly dose of common sense. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get into it.
Corey, good job, Corey. Corey, good job, Corey. Corey, good job, Corey. Corey, good job, Corey. Corey, good job, Corey.
Well, the only real political news this week has been the leadership challenge against yet another Prime Minister. This time, Malcolm Turnbull was getting a dose of his own medicine when Peter Dutton launched a challenge in the party room on Tuesday morning. Peter Dutton didn't get the numbers. He got 35, which is a respectable amount. Malcolm Turnbull got 48. But Dutton got enough to put the Prime Minister on notice that he is literally a dead political figure walking, because he's only got to get another 7, and he can do that from the backbench. Peter Dutton has now resigned as a backbencher. He will court the backbenchers by saying, "You are rushing towards an electoral nightmare, a disaster, and we've got to get the base back. We've got to make sure that we can save as many seats as we possibly can." And it's exactly the same scenario that Malcolm Turnbull used to great effect to undermine and destroy Tony Abbott's prime ministership. We know that Tony Abbott is on Peter Dutton's side. I personally think that Tony Abbott is the only person that would have a hope of winning an election for the coalition, because that would restore some faith that justice has been done. But we've seen this scenario before, because let's remember, we went through this process with Julia Gillard, who wasn't challenging Kevin Rudd, and then Simon Crean, when Julia Gillard did roll him, Simon Crean telegraphed there was another challenge coming, and Kevin Rudd actually came back, and then Tony Abbott was challenged by an empty chair, and then Malcolm Turnbull launched a challenge, and now we've got the first volley, the first salvo against Malcolm Turnbull. And history demonstrates it's all over for him. It's only a matter of time. So, if you're Malcolm Turnbull, what would you do? It's a big question. And firstly, a leopard doesn't change his spot, so it's unlikely he's going to change policy or develop some conviction or some values or some principles that are in alignment with a centre-right party. But Malcolm likes the idea of history and being part of history. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if in the next couple of weeks, Malcolm Turnbull says, "I want to be the first Prime Minister since John Howard to actually see out a term of Parliament." And it wouldn't surprise me if he decides to go to Yarralumla to visit the Governor General and say, "Let's have a general election." And with no intention of really winning it, but merely to smite his enemies, to say, "I've seen my term, and that makes me more successful in some respects than some others. Now, that could happen as early as in the next few days, because if I were Peter Dutton, I'd be working this backbench as hard as I could in the next 24 hours to try and get those extra 7 votes and maybe call a spill on for Thursday again. Because the longer they prevaricate, the longer they delay, we know where the end result is going to be. And the only thing that can stop that and stop Peter Dutton from being Prime Minister is the PM himself to call an early election. So that's a reasonable scenario. You also have to think about the motives for others. Self-preservation is the instinct that kicks in with politicians. Don't fool yourself. They care about the health and well-being of the Liberal Party, or they care about, you know, the country. Now, that's a bit hard, actually, because they do. But ultimately, they know that unless they win their own seats, their relevance is gone. Their relevance is diminished. Many of them will try and fight their way back into Parliament, but the reality is you've got to be in the building in order to have any influence whatsoever. So self-preservation is the instinct that kicks in, and that's why I think you'll find a group of people will start to migrate across to Peter Dutton on top of the 35, because they know that Malcolm Turnbull is a walking disaster. He has smashed the Liberal Party brand. He has smashed the internal cohesion and coalition that was there. He has destroyed, effectively, a lot of the credibility of it, just as Kevin Rudd did with Labor. And it's going to be a couple of terms in the wilderness in order to revive that, at the very least. And on the periphery of this, you've got a party like the Australian Conservatives. Whilst we're a fledgling party, we are what the Liberal Party used to be. And in fact, the 35 people who voted for Peter Dutton, they should all come across and join us, to be honest, and actually say that we're going to be the party of principles, the party of values, because I don't know that they can actually reclaim the Liberal Party in that space. So there's your two scenarios. The first scenario is that Malcolm Turnbull tries desperately to cling on, and it's only a matter of time before he gets done in, and he will not be Prime Minister by the end of the year. The second scenario is that Malcolm Turnbull knows that, and he's probably smart enough to know that, but he's egotistical enough to think he can overcome it. But he might say, no, I know I'm dead. I want to go out on my own terms. I'm going to call an election, and that way I'll be in the history books as, you know, the master of my own destiny, if I can shape it in those terms, even though the electorate is actually going to be mastering his destiny. And if that happens, the coalition will get smashed. Either way, I think we're going to have a new Prime Minister by the end of the year, whether that's Peter Dutton or someone else in the coalition, or whether it's Bill Shorten. I think a political change is afoot. Now, that's going to be diabolical for the country either way. The instability is not good, and it brings politics into disrepute, into even greater disrepute amongst the voters, because they think whoever we vote for, it makes no difference. We know that the Liberals are now a pale imitation of Labor. We know that no matter who is Prime Minister, it doesn't really make much difference at all. The will to fight is lost. You've got Conservative Prime Ministers, or centre-right Prime Ministers, I should say, fighting to implement left-wing Labor policy or social programs. And it's not just Malcolm Turnbull. I mean, we can go through Tony Abbott's failings as well. The issue is the system is busted. The system is broken. And the only way you can apply a measure of rigour, apply a filter of common sense, apply just this practical understanding of how humankind works, and implement the proven policies rather than the experimental ones, is in the Senate. And that's why I'm urging everybody, please vote for your local Conservative candidate in the Senate. It is the way we can influence the outcome of politics, no matter whom is Prime Minister, no matter which party is in power. We have to do this for the country. We cannot afford to speculate with the personality cults or fall for the pea and thimble tricks of Clive Palmer. We can't afford to have more irrational decision-making. We have to have principled, proven people in politics who are going to make sure we do the right thing by the country. That's what I'm trying to do. But it's not about me. It is about our children and our grandchildren. So please, whatever you do, whatever happens in the next 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, when you get your chance, vote Conservative in the Senate. Right around the country, we have great candidates. There will be someone there for you to vote for. Choose your party of government, whatever you want to do. But in the Senate, put one next to the Australian Conservatives. I'll be back.
If you're here for your weekly dose of common sense, you come to the right place. This is the home of the Conservative Revolution.
Right now, it's time for your say. And week in and week out, this is the most popular segment on the Weekly Dose of Common Sense podcast. It's an opportunity for me to answer your questions. And I keep saying to people, don't be afraid. Send a voicemail in. It's like people are a bit scared of getting their voice on such a controversial podcast. But anyway, we want you to be part of it however you want to. So email me if you don't want to send a voicemail, corey@coreybernardi.com. John has written about the Kimber nuclear waste dump. Now, for those of you who don't know, Kimber is a regional township in South Australia, and it's one of the two sites that are undergoing a public vote, effectively, about whether it wants to be the site for a low-level and intermediate-level nuclear waste dump. Now, recently, I went to Lucas Heights. That's where our nuclear waste is currently stored, and I feel perfectly comfortable with it, I tell you. I don't have any doubts at all about the safety of it. And quite frankly, if I was a regional community, I'd be embracing it. But anyway, John says, there's a free vote by Kimber residents to decide whether they will host a low, medium level waste dump. It's being challenged in the Supreme Court to attempt to stop the vote from going ahead. The Barngala people are trying to circumvent democracy by appealing to the court to disallow a vote from occurring. Is this a dictatorship by a minority? You know what, John? I reckon it is. I'm tired of all of these little tribes and groups of people that are saying it's our land, we can decide what to do with it. I'm over it. It's Australia. I was born here. This is my land. It was settled. It was made into the greatest country on earth. Let's all enjoy it. And the Barngala people or anyone else shouldn't have a say about, well, they should have the same say as the rest of us. A different issue, but Susan has said a religious leader is accused of illegal land clearing on a rural property used for religious prayer and claimed a Western Sydney council is infringing on his group's religious freedoms by pursuing him over the allegations. And on it goes. Susan, I'm with you. I think if we've got laws about land clearing, if we've got laws about what is expected of people before they can develop their property, everyone needs to be subject to it. And just because Dr. Mustafa Kara Ali and others are saying that, you know, it's a religious practice, I say, well, obey the law. Get out. Recommendation request. This is from Rebecca. Rebecca says, thanks for letting us know the blogs and journalists you follow on a recent Common Sense podcast. Our daughter is at uni studying business. Can you recommend any financial publication she could check out to give a common sense, conservative take on current financial issues? Well, Rebecca, there is one blog that I go to a lot. It's called Armstrong Economics. Martin Armstrong is a financial markets analyst who believes in the cyclical nature of everything, the business cycle, economics, the war cycle, everything that affects us all. And he's had a rather controversial history. He was imprisoned for a period of time. A lot of allegations were made against him. Unproven mainly. It's a really fascinating story, and it suggests to me that there is a coercive element to the state that we're wise to be concerned about. But he has a remarkable track record in analysis of economic issues and identifying
where the trends are heading. So go to Armstrong Economics, Martin Armstrong. He hosts these World Economic Forums a couple of times a year. I've tried to get to them because that's how impressed I am with him, but unfortunately they always coincide with other things that I've got to do. So one day I'll get there. Ross says he's a senior executive. He's voted Liberal or National all his life. My entire family are conservative voters and we adhere to traditional family values. He was in the army for 12 years. His uncle was an advisor to Bob Menzies, but he's never felt so much trepidation and dread about the future of his country as he does now. He says, it brings me to tears. I've lost faith in the Liberal Party. Turnbull and his cronies have destroyed it. Menzies will be giddy from rolling in his grave. I can no longer in good conscience sit on the benches and watch. I'm attracted to the Conservatives, but I'm concerned I don't see a strategy to grow to rival two big parties and form a government. Do you have information which can help me to decide if I should join your party? Well, Ross, yes, you should join our party. What's the strategy? We want to get people elected. But, mate, I got to tell you, the dreams of replacing the Liberal Party or the Labor Party or entering into a contest in some way of hoping to form government are putting the cart before the horse. The best thing we can possibly do is to vote for Conservatives in the Senate. Vote for your local Conservative Senate candidate because that is how we'll have influence. We're not going to have influence by being a number in the lower house, which is unlikely. We're going to have influence by shaping every piece of legislation, putting it through the filter of common sense and applying conservative principles to it, no matter who forms government. So join, get involved and vote Conservative in the Senate. Carl's disenfranchised too. As a former Liberal Party member, I was concerned about the removal of Tony Abbott and the disgraceful and treacherous behaviour which led to his demise. That's why I joined your movement. Even I cannot believe the direction or lack thereof that the Liberal Party has embarked upon in recent months. In the lead up to the 2019 elections, the Conservatives can be a place for these people to be right at home. I'd dearly love to see that 30% of dislocated voters have one home to go, but I believe you have a real chance of picking up enough nomads to have influence in the Senate from 2019 onward. Well, Carl, that's our plan. Thanks for your good wishes. Thanks for being involved. We want to be a credible and principled alternative. And you know what? No matter who leads the Liberal Party, no matter what their policy objectives, what they say is not what they do after they get elected. And that's why we need the Conservative balance of power to have influence. Ben says, mate, I'd like your help in regards to an issue which I think is dear to your heart because it has to do with Catholic education and it has to do with the future of our nation. My youngest two children go to a Catholic school. One is 14, the other is 9. I won't mention the schools. Approximately a year ago, I brought some concerns of mine to her attention in a respectful way, this is to the principal, to watch my daughters play. And there were many boys on stage dressing in girls' clothing. I thought it inappropriate for any school, but particularly a Catholic school. Today, I arrived at the sports carnival. Many of the boys were competing in tutus and curtsying after the race and then being praised by the principal as she drew attention to the dress and curtsies. Well, how do I combat this ideology in schools? Well, it's an interesting thing, Ben. I'm going to say this. It's not uncommon for those who are on stage to dress as an alternative gender. Now, that might be simply because there's not enough girls participating in a particular play or the cast involves a lot of female characters and vice versa. We have girls playing boys or being trees or anything like that. So I can understand that. I don't understand why kids are in sports day dressed in tutus and curtsying after the race. It does seem a bit odd. But of course, you know, this new ideology that's creeping through the entire school system is that you can just decide whether you're a boy or a girl every single day if that's what you want to do. It's wrong. It doesn't seem right. And I think it is a bit of a social experiment. What can you do, mate? You've got to get rid of bad governments. You've got to get rid of bad principals and school teachers. Go to the local bishop. If you're at a Catholic school, go there. You go up the tree a bit and say, what's going on here? If your principal won't listen to you, Maybe the people are responsible for it, Will. Jake's concerned about social media censorship. He says he's a big fan of the podcast and he's a member of the Australian Conservatives. Good on you, Jake. Thank you. He says there's been a rise of censorship of conservative voices on social media platforms. Alex Jones was delisted by Facebook, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, etc. Jake says he doesn't support Alex Jones necessarily, but he doesn't believe he should be taken off air because he's got this wrong political opinion. It won't be long until they come after you, meaning me. Have you considered uploading content to alternative social media platforms? Continue to use the big ones, I still have them, but you may consider uploading your content to alternative networks as well so you can continue to spread the good message. What are your thoughts? Well, Jake, we try and store everything on multiple platforms. So we'll upload to Facebook, we'll upload to YouTube, we'll upload to Corey Bernardi website, the Australian Conservatives website, and, Twitter, we don't upload much there. So we don't store those tweets or anything else. Because I think censorship is a huge issue. It does seem that this big media companies are censoring and stopping opinions that they don't like. We know there's a lot of nonsense out there and there's all sorts of conspiracy theories and fake news and you don't know what's true and what's not, but they have extraordinary amounts of power and we've dealt with this in the past. So I don't really know what the alternatives are. You've suggested some to me. I'll have a look at them, but, you know, quite frankly, we don't have the resources to upload to dozens of different avenues. We've got to go where the people are. And right now that's on Facebook et al. Voting and welfare recipients. G'day, Corey. Love your work, says Dale. You're right. It should be voluntary voting as it's frustrating making the effort to be involved, but knowing you will have little impact. Don't give up, Dale. One thing I think we have to add is that people who vote must be Australian citizens. Well, they have to be. And be over 21 years of age. Well, you know, 18 is the legal age. I think if you can go off to war, you can go off to vote. And have completed a tax return, paid tax within the last 2 years. I like the sound of that. Or retired, he says. Welfare recipients should not be able to vote. They don't want to be part of the system. They shouldn't be able to have an effect. You know, Dale, I don't have too many things wrong with that. If you're reliant on government for your cash, particularly in handouts or through welfare, and you haven't been contributing to the tax system in recent times, you're going to vote for the things that benefit you rather than what might be good for the country. So I don't actually have too many problems with that, but it's not going to happen, Dale. Children on Nauru, Michelle says, Dear Senator, I'm writing as one of the many Australians who are deeply concerned about the damage being done to the men, women and children being held on Nauru and Manus. Been held there for 5 years. The suffering they're enduring is totally unacceptable. Goes on and on and on about young people being killed and suffering physical and mental illness. This cruelty must stop. You know what, Michelle? The cruelest thing is when you encourage people to get on leaky boats, to take a perilous journey where thousands of them die at sea in the name of open borders and compassion. That's exactly what happened under the Labor Green Alliance. Thousands of people died, men, women and children. And I remember Senator Hanson Young, the Green Senator, saying, oh, accidents happen, tragedies happen. In this cavalier sort of manner, oh, well, people are dying at sea. 50,000 people came here illegally. Thousands of people were locked up in Australia. Locked up. They were released. They were let out. Their children were released from detention in Australia by the coalition government. And they've put a stop to this people smuggling practice. Now, the price of that is unfortunately putting people on Nauru. Now, they're not incarcerated there. They're free to go about their business as they like, and they're free to get resettled in other countries. Some have chosen to do that. But if you're going to try and rot your way into Australia, well, frankly, I don't want you here. Go somewhere else. You're safe in Nauru. You're not incarcerated in Nauru. You get health care. You get looked after. But don't think there's a shortcut to Australian residency or citizenship or something else because you can afford to pay a people smuggler and you're not prepared to go through the right channels. So, Michelle, I 100% support the Australian government's border protection regime. And, I am concerned for anybody that's suffering from health problems, but they've got it better on Nauru than the countries in which they fled, apparently. It's funny, though, when they come here and they get on the welfare system, a lot of them tend to go back to the countries from whence they fled for holidays. It's a scam. Donna says, my name is Donna, and I'm a proud AC member. Good on you, Donna. Thank you. Thanks for campaigning tirelessly on behalf of the Australian public. I know you're a busy man, but we're having troubles with a motel we bought in Western Australia. And I truly believe a big part of this is because unregistered short-stay accommodation has sprung up everywhere in the region. We welcome competition, but unregistered short-stay accommodation doesn't play by the same rules as we do, as I'm sure you can appreciate. Donna, I think you're talking about Airbnb and others like it. You're right. There's plenty in the hotel industry that are suffering as a result of this, but that genie is out of the bottle. I cannot see a way of putting it back in there. And frankly, if an individual wants to rent a room in their home, I'm not sure the government should have any say in it. If you want to rent an apartment that you own for one night or three nights, I'm not sure you can have any say in it. And I know there's a whole range of issues. There's insurance issues, there's compliance issues, there's safety issues, there's all of that sort of stuff. But do we really want to regulate what people can do or who can stay in their own property? So Donna, I'm sorry that might upset you, but I don't know what we can do in this respect. And I'd be interested in your feedback on the principles around what people should be able to do with their private property. Tim says, do you mind letting me know what the issues were that prevented an amalgamation of Australian Conservatives and the Liberty Alliance? Well, Tim, we're going back in history, but here it is. The Australian Liberty Alliance demanded that they could choose the Senate candidates in Western Australia and Victoria. They demanded that I adopt their policy programs and policies. They demanded that I employ their staff and pick up their liabilities for their rentals and things of that nature. And when I said, well, those things are not acceptable, they walked away from it. They walked away from it because I wouldn't do what they wanted. Graham, this is titled Positive Feedback. I like this one. I'd just like to thank you for your emails to me and ask that I continue to receive them. I appreciate everything you do in order to make the country better in the future. I'm one of the thousands of citizens floating around with anger towards our major parties. I can't stand the PC garbage, identity politics, gender wars, culture wars, the energy crisis, the immigration policy, the lies and deceit pushed to the electorate. I'm at a loss right now. I don't know where to turn to. I'm in the state of Victoria. I don't know at this stage if I can vote for your party. Can you please advise if this is possible? Well, Graham, thank you. And I'm with you. I can't stand the PC garbage and stuff like that as either. And in Victoria, you'll be able to vote for Kevin Bailey in the Senate at the next federal election, where these things can properly be addressed, because that's where we can have the most influence. And ladies and gentlemen, that is your say for this week. Keep those emails coming through, because I'll get onto them in the podcast ahead.
If you're enjoying your weekly dose of common sense, chip in at conservatives.org.au.
Well, that's another edition of your weekly dose of common sense podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's always great to get your feedback, so keep it coming. Corey at coreybernardi.com. And here's a little bit of breaking news for you. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be out of action, or incommunicado is probably the better way of putting it, because I'm going to be taking a short break with my wife, which means we're going to put together a highlights package for the next couple of weeks of this podcast, just to go through some of the issues that we've canvassed in the last 6 months or so. It's been a mighty ride. I know I need a break. You might need a break from me, but keep sharing it with your friends and family. I look forward to joining you again in a couple of weeks, and I can guarantee you the next fortnight in politics will not be boring.
and the common sense message will be more important than ever when I get back. Thanks for tuning in. All the best.
If you've enjoyed your weekly dose of common sense, join the party at conservatives.org.au.